What's up, Internet? You're tuned in to episode 98 of Nintendo Noise, Flip Screen Games' weekly Nintendo podcast. I'm your host, Pete Imbesi, joined, as always, by my very good friend and co-host, Mr. Stephen Radford.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Steve. How you doing?
I'm all right. You?
You know, I'm doing pretty good, Steve. And we've got quite an episode this week. And we're going to start by talking about something that I know you and I are both very passionate about, right? I think if there's one thing that we've talked about wanting to see NSO bring to the table, it's GameCube games, right? But unfortunately, It seems like Nintendo is pretty content to just sell us GameCube games a la carte, right? And, you know, in that investor Q&A that we were talking about all last week, we got a little bit of mention about GameCube games on Switch. And I want to pick your brain a little bit here. So CEO Shintaro Furukawa was responding to a question about NSO Online, right, and the apps that we have based on legacy systems. And he was dodging a question about the idea of 3DS games coming to an NSO app of some kind.
Do you think that means they're coming then? The 3DS is coming if he's dodging the question?
I don't know, right? Because I would say no.
That seems way too close, especially considering a lot of the games that were on 3DS were also on the Wii U. It was during that period of time when they were trying to have like parity across the system. So we got like Mario Maker on there, we got Smash Brothers on there. I don't see 3DS games coming over, but maybe other 3DS ports. Like I could see like a Pilot Wings game.
Like we're getting Luigi's Mansion 2, right? Like I think if anything, the 3DS stuff will be handled more like the GameCube stuff, where like it is they just bring games over where they can and you know, give us, and they've done that a couple times, right? Like we've had a few 3DS games that have made the jump in one way or another.
The one thing I really wish they would do, not 3DS, and we'll get onto GameCube in a second, sorry, I realize I'm taking us off the rails.
You're derailing my whole thing, but that's fine. That's what we're here to do.
Is Game & Watch. Like it feels like that makes so much sense. Like it's gotta be like an anniversary for Game & Watch coming up. Isn't that next year?
I think it's the same thing though, right? Like I think some of this stuff, like they've just found other ways to monetize it. Like they've been selling us Game & Watches. I think they'll probably just keep selling us Game & Watches, right?
I don't want that. Like I want a Game & Watch collection like they used to do. And they used to pay, like they used to sell you them, and then they were Club Nintendo awards. And like I wanna have the collection so I can play them on my Switch.
It would be nice. I mean, I guess you could maybe see that come to the Game Boy Advance NSO, because there was like the Game & Watch gallery titles over there. Maybe that's they'll true. Eventually yeah. add those to that library. I could see that.
I'd be okay with that. As long as I can play Chef and Concrete Factory, I'm okay. Cement Factory.
Sure. I think Chef is my favorite one too.
Yeah, I love Chef. It's great.
It's funny though. That's the construction one. That's also one of my favorites. I like the firefighting one too, where there's this stuff.
The firefighting one's just like a riff on, it's just a riff on Chef. It's called Fire, yeah. But it's just a riff on Chef.
It's fun, though.
It is, but I like burning the sausages in Chef. It's great.
But I do think it's funny, though, with the 3DS thing, because it's like, I mean, we'd have to get DS before that anyway, right?
Not necessarily. But I do think it's strange, because like when I think of the DS, like what could come to mind for you? For me, they're games that are unique to the DS and need the dual screen or the touch screen with the pen or the microphone. You know, it's those kind of games. And we've already got Mario 64. Maybe, yeah, bring the remake that you did for so we can play as Yoshi or Luigi or Peach or whatever.
Yeah, like, was really good.
But like, games that I would want to play, like Hotel Dusk or Another Code. We've already got Brain Training or Brain Age. That came over. So I don't really know what else I would want. I mean, the original Resident Evil was great on there. Maybe port. I mean, that game is already over. Like the GameCube remake for Resident Evil is already on there.
I'm trying to find a list of games to kind of like freshen my memory, because it's like, you know, like there are a bunch of games that come to mind, but I think you run into like some problems really quickly, right? Because like some of the first ones that come to mind for me, I'm like, okay, the Pokemon titles, but they never come to NSO, so. That's already
They're not going to come to NSO. Never. You'll be paying for those.
We're off to a bad start there. I mean, there is like stuff like The Legend of Zelda: The Phantom Hourglass and like the whatever the train track one. I can't Spirit Tracks or whatever.
Oh, you know, I'd like Link Between Worlds as well if they do ever do 3DS. Yeah, if they ever do 3DS, I'd like that to come over because I never got a chance to play that.
But then it was like The World Ends With You is one of the games that came to mind, but like that already got a port, right? Like they did a remake on Switch. So like that's already been satisfied. There's Animal Crossing Wild World, but it's also like, do Animal Crossing games come to these? I don't know. I don't know if I don't know if they're interested in re-releasing old Animal Crossing games. I don't know if that's
No, I don't think that makes sense. But they seem to be on a roll of re-releasing like a ton of stuff. Like they could continue the Advance Wars stuff, right? We've had Advance Wars 1 and 2. Why don't you bring like Jewel Strike over? That would make sense to do that.
One I would say as well is but again it's a third party thing, but the Chrono Trigger DS, the version of Chrono Trigger on DS, everyone says is the best version.
Haven't they brought Chrono Trigger out
on Super Nintendo? I don't think so. No.
Oh, is it not there on the Switch?
I don't think so.
You're probably right. You know,
no. There's the Phoenix Wright stuff. You know, there's Professor Layton. Like both of those got started there. There's like the new Super Mario Bros. Stuff. There's the Mario and Luigi stuff.
The Mario Luigi stuff I could see, but didn't they shut that studio down? Like yeah, Alpha Dream got shut down. They could port that over and let someone else do it. Well,
if you're just putting them on the NSO app, it's like
whatever. Yeah. I mean, some of these games are fine. They work fine. You know, Phoenix Wright, all those games came over. That's fine. But stuff like, you know, Kirby, the one with the paintbrush, Power Paintbrush.
Yeah.
Which I think it's called Canvas Curse.
Right. Yeah.
You, you know, you need the stylus and the touchscreen's not as responsive.
But anyway, let's take it back to GameCube. We're getting sidetracked on these DS titles.
That was a good system though.
It was a good system. They both were. I mean, I'd argue there isn't a bad Nintendo system. I think each one has.
Yeah, Virtual Boy's great.
Okay, you got me there. But on the GameCube side of it, right? There was a mention of it, right, where Furukawa actually answered the question, and he said, among the titles released for Nintendo GameCube, the HD versions of Pikmin 1 and Pikmin 2, the digital version, just recently became available on June 22nd for Nintendo Switch. We value your request and opinion on this topic, right? So like, it's kind of a brush off, right? Like it's like, oh, there are GameCube games available on Switch, but we appreciate the interest, right? So like, to me,
yeah, this is a shut your mouth. Like we're not talking about it. Go away. We've got GameCube.
I feel like it feels very like we're not going to get GameCube, right?
No,
like,
never. I think there was no doubt in my mind.
That one to bed.
Yeah, when they started selling these games, I thought maybe 3D All-Stars was an exception. But then we got Metroid Prime, and then we got...
And again, that was like a remaster, but it had new... So it's like, all right, maybe, right? Like, maybe. Pikmin 1 and 2 are just ports. They're just ports.
Yeah, I know. And I just don't... There's no way now. Absolutely no way. I'd like to see them sell Sunshine again, like bring that back, and just, you know,
I'm gonna stop you right there,
continue to sell the games.
Our good friend Chewy Plays Nintendo wrote in and said, since Nintendo seems to be on a trend of bringing GameCube games to Switch, what GameCube game should they bring to Switch next? And before you answer, that doc guy wrote in and he had two suggestions that I thought were pretty good. Carmen Sandiego, Secret of the Stolen Drums, obviously, was the first one. No idea what that game is. Couldn't even hazard a guess.
Is it like Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego and she's like investigating some stolen
drums? Yeah, I guess.
So, is it like a Carmen Sandiego turns Nancy Drew and she's like, you know, going around?
I don't know. But like, my memory of Carmen Sandiego is like, yeah, no, this is like an action adventure game, huh? Huh.
That's so weird.
Okay.
She looked great in that like outfit though, doesn't she?
57 on Metacritic. I don't know about this one, Doc. I don't know about this one. but the other game that you recommended is Ribbit King, and I love that game. So shout out to you on that one.
I don't know what Ribbit King is.
It is ridiculous. It is a game where it's very like Animal Crossing in its character model style, and it's like golf. But instead of a ball, use a frog. and it's like very like Mario Party, like wacky kind of golf. And like when you hit the frog will jump and stuff like that. So there's like an element to of that to actually scoring and you know, and sinking shots. It's a really fun game. I may or may not have allegedly played it on my Steam Deck.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So before we get into the games we want to see, right, the games that we already got so far, we have Pikmin 1 and 2, right, new ones. We've got Metroid Prime Remastered from earlier this year. Bandai Namco put out Tales of Symphonia, which was another, like, classic third-party game from the GameCube. We've also had Final Fantasy.
It was Katamari Damacy as well, right?
I don't think that was on GameCube. That was a PS2 exclusive, I want to say. I think
you're probably right. It never came out in the UK.
I don't think it came to other platforms until later, but I could be wrong. But they also did do Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, if you recall. That was an early game that got put on the Switch. So we have had a few. There may be others that I'm not thinking of.
Monkey Ball. Monkey Ball came over.
Right, Super Monkey Ball. Was it 1 or 2 remastered?
1 and 2. They both got packed in on that pack in.
There you go.
I can't remember what it was, but yeah, that came over, I'm sure. And I'm sure some of the old Sonic games, right? Weren't they ported over?
I'm not sure about that.
Like, oh no, yeah, it would have been Adventure from the GameCube era. That definitely hasn't
made over. I don't think that's there. So we definitely have a couple. Right, like you already called out, there is Super Mario Sunshine's available, right? If you happen to already get it, there's some other like kind of more obscure ones. I found a list here actually from Retro Dodo, which is GameCube games on Switch, and there's some like deep cuts here that I didn't realize had come to Switch, like Sphinx and the Cursed Mummy. Ty the Tasmanian Tiger was one that I forgot had been ported. Star Wars Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Outcast, right? Resident Evil 4 just got reported. So you know, like you do have some examples of games that were like big GameCube games, like, or like even some of the other like goofy license stuff like SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom that got ported, you know. So you do have some of those titles, but based on, you know, the question we've got here from Chewy, like, what are the games that you feel like are missing that you would want to get back into?
Number one for me, and I don't think it would be a surprise to anyone, is The Simpsons Hit and Run, because it's fantastic, probably the game I spent most time on the GameCube. I had such a good time with it. I love The Simpsons Hit and Run, and it would be wonderful to see that game come to Switch. And I'd like actually a remake of it. But I still feel that that counts, because I think Simpsons Hit and Run, where I can actually drive around the whole of Springfield and it's not individual different levels, would be so cool.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you there. I think that's a great call. That's a fun third-party choice for sure.
There's some good first-party choices as well that I do think are missing. Everyone talks about F-Zero and how we need a new F-Zero. Why don't you just bring F-Zero GX over and be done with it, and have like a remastered version of that? I think that would look fine. Same with Wind Waker. Like everyone wants Wind Waker. It's still not come to Switch. You've got to imagine they're keeping that one in their pocket and for a soft year where they're just like, oh, we need something. Here, have Wind Waker.
I just am so surprised it hasn't happened yet. You know, like I really thought it would have happened a while ago by now. It just feels like such a
slam dunk. Same thing with Twilight Princess. It's just weird.
Yeah, yeah. It's odd. And like the fact that both of them already exist, like there's already HD versions of both of those games, and it's like, why don't you just sell them to us? You know, like it's hard for me to wrap my head around it. But speaking of first party stuff, you know, like one of the first ones that came to mind for me with this question was, you know, we just got the announcement that Luigi's Mansion 2 New Moon is going to get remastered. I mean, where's the love for Luigi's Mansion 1? I think that would have been a really cool 1 and 2 package, because I think the original Luigi's Mansion, you know,
great launch title for the console as well.
Great launch title, but I also think that it's a game that, like, I don't want to say has not aged well, but I think it's like it doesn't have a lot of content, right? Like it's not a huge deep game. It's a game you can get through pretty quickly. And, you know, as good as it is, I just feel like people would feel kind of burned paying $60 for it. Whereas if it was similar to like Pikmin 2, where it was, or Pikmin 1 and 2 that we just got, where it's like you can buy them both a la carte or you can get them on a set together, I think that would feel a lot better.
They might do it as one of the smaller titles. I think I could maybe see that. But yeah, it's a shame that they haven't. I think they're going to charge separately for it in the same way they've done Pikmin 1 and 2. And yeah, they'll just charge full whack for it and know that people will pay for it anyway, especially if it's like a quiet period where people are hungry for stuff. I feel like Paper Mario Thousand Year Door as well, I feel like that would be ready for a port as well.
There's
at some
like
point.
Rumors that we're getting a remake of that. Like, I've been seeing rumblings about that for a bit now. I wonder if maybe it's the time. I mean, maybe not like right now, because like Super Mario RPG is coming out, right? So like there's that. But
wasn't there a rumor that Double Dash was like being worked on as well as like Mario Kart, where like they were exploring the Double Dash mechanic again?
I feel like I remember seeing that, but I don't know if that. I don't know.
Bollocks.
I mean, you don't know though, right? Because it's like sometimes we do get those kinds of rumors, and like they go like the 2D Mario thing that like I literally bet was fake, and then it was real. So it's like you don't know, right? It could be
real.
Yeah.
Chibi Robo would be cool as well as a third party. That'd be fun to bring over. I've always wanted to play that game. Never got a chance to. And my boy Wario needs more love. I'm sick of him being trapped in WarioWare. Let's bring Wario World over. Let's do a full remake of Wario World and like have him have his own platform again. Yeah, it is. Yeah, Wario World is.
I'm not familiar with that one.
It's like a 3D version of Wario Land. Not cool. Good, but I'd still like to play Wario World.
I mean, I'm into that. I think. Well, do I want to go with a third party or a first party? We'll go with a third party, I guess, since you brought up a third party game. I think Beautiful Joe 1 and 2 would be a nice collection.
I'm surprised they haven't. Is that Sega?
It's Capcom, isn't it?
Oh, Capcom, yeah. I could see them doing that.
Like, what's up with that? Have we never gotten a...
No, never got a re-release. Got trapped any of them? On PlayStation and GameCube, yeah.
That's... Isn't that...
I think it's like a soundtrack issue or something.
Yeah, but like, even if it is, like, pay for the license.
Yeah. Like,
isn't that...
Or maybe it's because it's like... Maybe it's due to like the link with Platinum. Because like wasn't Platinum they did the Wonderful 101? Isn't that loosely connected to Beautiful Joe?
I don't think so. I think it's like a similar style, but I don't think they're connected. Yeah, and I mean the first game was made by Clover Studio, and it looks like they made Beautiful Joe. Yeah, they made. So that studio made Beautiful Joe, Beautiful Joe 2, two other sequels that I had not heard of that were like, I guess, portable. And then they did Okami and God Hand, which I've never heard of. And then that's it.
God Hand sounds like it's right up your street. Isn't that like Black and White?
No, it's not. It's a beat 'em up.
No. That's a shame.
Emphasis on the hands, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. That's weird to me, right? Like, I'm surprised that they've never done a port of it.
Yeah, that would be nice to see. There's a lot of good games on the GameCube.
Oh, interesting.
There?
You know what? So that team, most of that studio, they went on to form Tango Gameworks. So that's the Hi-Fi Rush, Ghostwire.
Oh, Tango, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, you can see that through line with Hi-Fi Rush. Because I remember when Hi-Fi Rush came out, everyone was like, oh, that's kind of a left turn. Like they've done all horror stuff. And it's like, well, not back in the day.
Yeah, this is actually what they were doing.
Beautiful Joe feels like it's long overdue for some, like a remaster, a collection, something like that. I feel like that's like one of those like really classic franchises from that era, and it just doesn't get any love.
You know what is also ready for a remaster or some additional love from that era? And that is Mario Party 4 to 7 that are stuck on the GameCube and need to be given some love in a new... Or I would prefer DLC, but a new Super Mario Party or Mario Party Superstars 2, whatever they want to call this next one.
Yeah,
either Mario way, Party Ultra Stars. it needs to come. They need to happen. You got the N64 ones, and I didn't care about those maps, really. I want the good ones from the GameCube era. Bring those for me.
Yeah, I want them to put all of that in Superstars, but I'd be fine with the Superstars too if that's what they need to do, like, financially for it to make sense. Like, that's fine. Because then you just have...
Honestly, like, just give me, like, can't they make that as part of the... Once we're done with the Mario Kart DLC, like, make that the free thing that you get on your expansion pack and fund it that way? Dude, and, like...
I would kill for
like,
that.
Like, come on.
I would kill for that. You mentioned it earlier kind of in passing, but, like, Double Dash is a game I would like to have access to in a re-release. Like, I don't know if that's a thing that they're going to... You know, if they're, like, planning on going back to that for Mario Kart 9 or something like that, like, cool, but... I love Double Dash. I feel like it's one of the more unique entries, and I would love to be able to go back and play that, you know, in the same way we can with 64 on the NSO app.
Yeah, it would be really cool. I don't think it's going to happen, though. I think they're putting everything into Mario Kart 8. Seems to be where
everyone's
still buying it.
It's not the same though, right? Like, it's like, I don't need it to be like but it's, again, this is why you want the GameCube app on NSO, is because then you can just put this stuff out, right? Because, like, I can play Mario Kart 64 over there. I don't necessarily need to buy a boxed copy of Double Dash, but it would be nice to be able to go back and play that again if we want that hit of nostalgia, if we want to do a retrospective on that series or something, right? Like, it's frustrating to not have the option at all, right? And I feel that way about Melee as well. Like, it's kind of insane with how popular Melee is in, like, you know, the, like, online scene and the tournament scene, that there's not a single, like, that there's no way to play it except for having the original hardware and maintaining it. Like, that's just, you know, it's like, come on, you know, like, why can we not have a way for this to be more accessible?
I know. Yeah, it's crazy, really, isn't it? I mean, do you think that there is a possibility? I know we've kind of written it off, where they continue to do these HD remasters of some games, but then the smaller stuff, they're just like, yeah, we're not going to do it, and then they just chuck it out, and it's in 4:3, and it's like low resolution, and
I would love that. I really would. I think that would be fine, but I don't know. I know that. That would rub some people the wrong way, I think, you know?
I think so, too, because it's like, well, why can't I just have Pikmin on here? Like, I don't care about the HD. I just want to play Pikmin. Can we pay $30 for it? It's like, why?
Yeah, and I think if you want my answer of what they should do, is I think they should put a little more, like, effort into the remasters, so that, like...
I mean, they did a lot of effort on Metroid, and I think if they put that level of effort into all of them, I'd be more than happy to pay.
And I think if you do it that way, where it's like, yeah, like, you can play the original version on NSO, but it's going to be in 4:3, it's going to be this, it's not going to have these quality of life changes. But if you buy the remaster, it's, you know, it's a $40 game. It's, you know, maybe it's a full price game if it's two games packaged or whatever, but it does have new autosave features. It is in widescreen. It is running at, you know, ideally 60 frames per second, or, you know, whatever, right? Like, it has those bells and whistles that make it feel like a new game again versus the original. But, like, I think even when there is a good viable re-release of a game, I want the original to be playable, because they're not going to be the same, even if it's a good remake, right? Like,
I mean, we saw that with the GTA remasters, right? They took, like, down the old versions and replaced it, and everyone revolted and was like, well, can I have my good version back, please? Because your remaster sucks.
Right. Or like, you know, like, I look at something like the Crash Bandicoot, the Insane Trilogy, right? Where it's like, that was a really great remaster. It's a great product. It was enjoyable.
But I still want to go back and play the one on the PlayStation, yeah.
The style's different. The lighting's different. The physics are a little bit different. Like, if you're a purist...
Yeah. Sounds high quality instead of, like, Ooga Booga's, like, really compressed.
And that's the thing, though, right? It's like, those are... products that are going to speak to a different audience. For, like, new players who have never played Crash and have no nostalgia and they want to maybe see what it's all about, yeah, the Insane Trilogy is probably a great product if you're somebody who just wants to go back and have that hit. But if you're, like, a Crash purist, or, like, you want to have that, like, oh, I want to go back and compare, you know, whatever, right? Like, you should be able to have that experience. That should be an option for you, you know? And it would be easy, I think, to do that and to be like, yeah, this is a product that exists where you can play the base original version, but But if you want, you know, the, again, right, it's like I think of like something like Fire Red and Leaf Green or like the Pokemon remakes where it's like those are games in their own right. Right. Like they're not a replacement for the original game. They're their own experience. And that's cool because you get something that's good for new players, that is good for players that want nostalgia, but something new. But like if I go and play Fire Red, that's not the same experience as playing Red. And that's a good thing. And I think like that you get to the point where then you have people who are nostalgic for the remake. That's awesome. Like then you have. You're building on the legacy.
Like, that happens with all media, though. That happens with like movies as well. You know, people are like, "Oh, I like the remake of that movie better than the original." You know, I'm like that with Miracle on 34th Street. I never watched the original. I watched the one with the kid that played Matilda because that's the one I grew up with.
Right. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. You know, and I think like that's like the strength of having a franchise that has history. But like, you got to leverage the history. You know, like you should be able to have that experience where like you're the kid who that's the one you watch, but your parents watch that other one. And then you make them watch the one you like, they make you and you have a, you know, you create a you have to let the art have a conversation with itself. You know, like I think that's what's cool about remakes is like, how do you go back and take something new and recontextualize it in the modern era? But like, that's never going to be the same as just the old one. Mm-hmm. And like, you want that, you know? And again, when you get into like games with licensing and stuff like that, the soundtracks change. The stuff gets changed around. And like that's.
Oh, yeah. You know, if they ever released the Tony Hawk's game on any of the GameCube ones, it's not having the same music.
No, or like,
it's just not going to happen.
Even if it's a percentage of it. Like, because like with the Tony Hawk's 1 and 2 remake, they did get most of the original soundtrack and they added new songs. That's cool. There is still songs missing. And that's a bummer. Right. And like.
Yeah, it's why I can't play any of the Crazy Taxi re-releases.
It's not the same game without the offspring. It's just not. Like, it's
really not
connected to it. You know, you can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, I looked through the list. There's still a bunch of games I'd love to see released.
I've got six more games on my list here.
Okay. You go with a couple then, and then I can, because I'm sure some of mine are probably overlap.
Okay. All right. So, one of the ones that I would love to see is a series I'm not sure we've talked about. I don't really know if you have a relationship with it, but it's Custom Robo.
No, never.
I love Custom Robo. So it is I believe it's owned by Nintendo because they definitely publish it, but I'm not totally sure what the... Like what they're,
you never know though, because you know, there's a bunch of games they publish that they don't own.
So I'm not totally, so let me see. It's developed by Noise, published by Nintendo. It looks like they own it, but it only has a few entries. Like it's not a big series. The original one was on N64, but it was Japan only. There was a second one that was Japan only. And then like, actually, there was a third one, too, on the Game Boy Advance. So this one was just called Custom Robo. It was the same name as the original. And this was the first one that came to North America. And there was, like, one on the DS after that I never got into. But it's like a real, like, hidden gem, you know? Like, I think it's, like, a cult classic on the GameCube where, like, every person I know who's ever played it loved it. But it's not a game that has a ton of fanfare. It didn't review super well at the time. I played it when I was young, so like I'm sure that impacted my, you know, bias towards it or whatever. But it's a game that like I remember really fondly and had like a very unique style and flair, and especially like among Nintendo franchises, right? Like being like a arena based like mech fighter is a really very different thing, and I would love to go back to it. I think it would be cool to see people maybe reevaluate it in the modern era, because I think about when it came out and I wonder if part of the critical reaction was because it was very like cartoony and goofy, and you know, we were kind of leaning more towards like serious, gritty, grim, dark type narratives in games. So I don't know, I wonder how people would feel about it now.
I got some news for you here, Pete. It's on Switch Online. It exists. The first two were on N64, and you can play them if you download the N64 app from the Japanese eShop. You can play Custom Ooh. Robo and Custom Robo V2. They exist.
Okay. Well, I've never played those ones because they were on N64.
Yeah. They never came out in North America. So you can go play English. Some Custom Robo. English,
though, right? Like, the play them in Japanese.
I have no idea. You'll have to see if you can figure that out. But they're playable. They're there.
I want to play the game.
Gives you some hope, though, right? Like, if it's coming, right. if those are there, the hope is that they bring the future ones out as well. Like, maybe they're reviving the franchise.
It would be cool. It would be cool. I would be excited about it. I would love to hear if anybody in the audience has any love for Custom Robo. Do we have any Custom Robo fans out there? Because I feel like it was pretty cool, but we'll see. I'm surprised. When I looked up the Metacritic score, I thought it would be higher than 65. So maybe, I don't know, maybe this is a Sonic Adventure situation.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know.
Famitsu gave it a 30 out of 40, though. Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good for Famitsu as well.
Yeah, like, they're pretty... See, I'm wondering if this was, like, a American bias against it.
It could well be, because, like, they've been released, like I said, they've been re-released in Japan on the eShops.
Says this, reception on the Wikipedia page. The game received mixed reviews, according to Metacritic. In Japan, it got 30 out of... It got 2 7s and 2 8s for a total of 30 out of 40. However, in retrospective reception, the game has been heavily praised and is frequently featured in best GameCube game lists and countdowns. That could just be nostalgia talking as we age, but who's to say? Custom Robo, bring it to the Switch. Let's do it. You want to go? You got another one?
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever played it, and this game slipped my mind. I'd completely forgot about it until we started assembling this list. And that's a game called Zoo Cube. Did you ever play Zoo Cube?
I've never played it, but I'm familiar with it because it's very rare, and I know, like, in the collector space, people are like, "Oh yeah, like Zoo Cube is one of those."
Oh,
like,
is it?
I think so. I think it's a pretty expensive game because there's not many copies of it.
Well, we had a copy of this. I'm sure we did because I remember it. This weird, like, floating cube, and like you put pieces on it. Yeah. It's very weird. It was a very cool game. I liked it. I like Zoo Cube. Be cool for that one to come back. You know, I think this would make a good phone game as well. Just bring back Zoo Cube. I mean, Acclaim's gone. I don't know who owns this now. Who bought Acclaim? Someone bought them. Started re-releasing all their games because we ended up with a bunch of their games being re-released. God, what's the one with that horrible fog? That N64 game? Turok. We had Turok get re-released, which was an Acclaim game as well.
Yeah. Huh. I don't know. It's interesting. The assets were sold off to multiple different people, so it's tough to say where this one ended up.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows who owns them? Which is a shame, because a lot of these games, they just get then tied up for years and years and years. Yeah. And who actually owns this game, and is it ever going to get re-released? And no, it won't.
Well, that's what the Steam Deck's for. Speaking of games that'll never get republished. This is the last third-party game I had on my list, and it is Spider-Man 2. So Spider-Man 2 was like a revolutionary game at the time, right? Like, if you ask any Spider-Man game fan of like what are the best Spider-Man games, this is definitely one of them. And this is one of those really interesting games that was made before Activision became like the Call of Duty, you know, like, push out factory. And there was a time where they briefly had the Marvel license, and a couple of the studios that you now know for being like the Call of Duty studios made Marvel games. And this is one of them. This game's actually made by Treyarch.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And it's similar. I don't know if you've ever heard of the X-Men Origins Wolverine game, but that was made by Raven. And it's a terrible fucking movie, but a really good video game. And yeah, like, this game was really good. You know, like, I'm sure in retrospect, right, like, games like this, like, that are from like an established IP that gets a lot of games, like, it's tough because I'm sure you'd go back to it and there's a lot that would feel very antiquated, and, you know, versus like the modern Spider-Man games we have now, or even the stuff from like, you know, a couple gens ago, like Web of Shadows and things like that. It's gonna feel more dated, but I mean, at the time, this game absolutely slapped, and it was certainly, you know, one that paved the way. That was the first time you ever had like open world swinging around the city and everything, you know? So really cool game, one that would absolutely never, ever be on a service like this, because not only is it an Activision game, it's also a licensed movie game tie-in thing. So like, I can't imagine that one happening, but Stranger Things, right? I mean, you get the SpongeBob games back and stuff, so who knows?
I mean, one of my favorite games of all time. It's lost to history, never going to get remade, I don't think. Although it could do Toy Story 2 on PlayStation 1. I could see that getting a remake.
It's made on, by... It's on the friggin' PlayStation streaming service, which is a wild thing to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the company that made it, all of them still exist. It was made by Traveler's Tales, which got renamed TT Games, and now all they do is Lego games.
Such a shame.
Activision.
Like, shout out to Activision, the Lego games, they're good, it. But, like, Traveler's really Tales good. Made some cool games back in the day.
And Activision published it, and it's Disney. I guess Disney's the issue, but they're back into making games these days, so why not?
So nuts. Anyway, sorry, I got distracted looking at the Traveler's Tales Wikipedia page, because I'm like, damn, yeah. I remember that logo they had before.
Yeah, the guy over his shoulder.
And he was like a raccoon guy, right? Like, he like kind of looked like Sly Cooper before Sly Cooper.
Yeah,
he was like, he was like a raccoon or a fox or something, but like,
oh, loved it.
I would be remiss. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I did have one more third party game I'll mention, which is Soul Calibur 2. I love Soul Calibur in general. I think 2 is my favorite. It's like, I think one that a lot of people look back on as being like one of the better ones. And I feel like it would actually be the odd third party game that would actually make sense to bring back. Because obviously Bandai Namco and Nintendo have a pretty tight relationship now. And the GameCube version of this was the one that featured Link as like the special character. This was like the one that started the trend of Soul Calibur having like weird guest fighters in every game. But this was the coolest one, because in 2, the fighter you had was based on what platform you bought the game on. So on PS2, it was Heihachi from Tekken. On GameCube, it was Link. And then on Xbox, it was Spawn, the comic book character. And very strange.
Xbox didn't have anything like, you couldn't get Master Chief there? Or was he not really like a figure at that point?
I mean, Spawn was very cool at that point. He was kind of having a moment.
Yeah, but it's not like known as like an Xbox guy.
No, no relation to Xbox. Very weird. But hey, whatever, right? Like, sure, it's cool. Kind of, yeah. It wouldn't happen today, right? But I think this game is really good. It's, I think it would age well, and I think the inclusion of Link is just a really cool thing, and opening that up to like a new generation of fighting game players, I think would be neat.
I've got a few third party titles. Obviously, we need the Mary Kate and Ashley game from Acclaim. No, I'm joking.
Obviously, Code you Veronica, these Acclaim Resident games. Evil. You were real into the Acclaim games back then, huh?
Yeah, obviously. No, Resident Evil Code Veronica. Ideally, just remake this game after Resident Evil 4. I'm happy for you to loop back and finish off the Claire Redfield storyline. Be absolutely fine for me to do if you did that. I think that would be great. I'd love to see that come over. I actually really loved this game. I remember playing it on the Dreamcast and then later on the PS2, and it got a port to GameCube as well.
Then it came to PS3 one game, 360 later.
Yeah, it came to 360 and PS3 later as well. It's like a HD remaster. One game that I feel like is probably missing from both of our gaming histories, and maybe would explain some of the other games by Suda, is Killer 7. I've never played it. I've always wanted to. I feel like it would make sense on Switch, considering Suda's kind of relationship and releasing some of his other games there, and releasing like, I think they're exclusive, right? No More Heroes. More Heroes 3? Is that exclusive?
All Nintendo exclusive, aren't they?
Yeah, so it would make sense to bring over Killer 7. I think that would make a lot of sense to bring over. We've already mentioned Crazy Taxi. I feel like that game should be released on every platform. And do it as a pack-in. I'm happy to you. If you need to bring Crazy Taxi 2 with it, I won't play it, but I'll still buy it. And one game I remember, this was my GoldenEye. I played it constantly with my brother. We would do split screen, and it's 007 Nightfire. I loved that game.
Yeah. I've never played it, but I remember the box for some reason. I don't know if I had a friend that had it or something.
Good old Pierce again.
Yeah. I think I might have played it like at a time or, you know, but it did not have the allure of GoldenEye.
Yeah, but those are all my third-party ones. There's a lot of other third-party games on there. Like, I'd love to bring, like, Splinter Cell over and stuff. I'd love to see that franchise revived. There's, like, a ton of stuff.
I got three more. One of them is one it's an interesting one for me because it's, I'm picking it for a few reasons. One is, Sierra's not here, so I'd be remiss to not mention it, but Pokemon XD Gale of Darkness is a game that I know she is a big fan of. And it's one of the odd games where it's a Pokemon game, right? And it's like a RPG. It's not a mainline entry or anything, but I've never played it. I never played. There's one other game I think similar to this that Colosseum was the one that was stadium style, but I think there was another one like this. No, okay, it is a successor to Colosseum, so maybe that had a story as well.
What, Gale of Darkness? Yeah, apparently you used assets from Colosseum.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I think Colosseum I only played the multiplayer of. Either way, these games have story. They have like a unique storyline where like you can capture other people's Pokemon, and there's like these dark Pokemon, and you need to cleanse the darkness from them. And Dark Lugia is a whole, like, there's a bunch of weird. It was made by this developer Genius Sonority. They're like, it's like the only RPG Pokemon game that wasn't made by Game Freak up until, you know, Let's Go with like creatures and stuff. So like, it's really weird. It's a weird game. It's weird that it ever got made. This was their Colosseum and Gale of Darkness were their first two games. They're all folks that like had worked on like Dragon Quest, and it's just like it's a weird game that ever got made, and it's like one that they've kind of swept under the rug, I think, because it's so different than everything else in the Pokemon series. And you'd think it would have been a bigger deal, but I guess it kind of came out at that point where Pokemon was like at its biggest lull as like the original. And this is why I didn't play it at the time, right? Was like, I was at that age where I had gotten picked on for like continuing to like Pokemon. So I kind of distanced myself from it. Right. So like
it came out on the GameCube. Like, I do think that
which was not popular.
Yeah. If it had come out like 2 years prior on the N64, then maybe more people would have bought it.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just interesting. It's an interesting game in history in general, and I think it would be really cool to see it come back and to, again, have it kind of reevaluated in the modern era by like a wider audience because it is so strange.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I'm not going to play it. It's Pokemon.
Not your thing. I get it.
Yeah.
Similarly, on that note, I'll throw another one out there, which I know this would be on Chewy's list, and that's Fire Emblem Path of Radiance. This is the first home console Fire Emblem.
Wasn't the Fire Emblem in the modern era?
Yeah.
I was going to say,
The original was, I think, on the NES, and then I think there's another one on Super Nintendo prior to that, and then we get into the Game Boy Advance era. Nothing on N64, and then we had this. But the reason that this game is like historically significant, I would say probably to most people, like if you haven't already played it, is that this is the game that stars Ike, and Ike has been a playable character in Smash Brothers for several years now. So I think even if you don't play Fire Emblem, you know who Ike is, right? Like, he's iconic in that way. So I think, again, right, like Fire Emblem is such a bigger franchise now, and they've been in the habit of like re-releasing old games, right? Like, they just put the GBA Fire Emblem up on NSO. They had that one that had never come to the States that was like a limited product for a little while a couple years back. So like, it seems like they're down to leverage some of the older games and like expose the new players to some of the classics. And this feels like a natural one, given that Ike has that visibility. So I think this would be a cool game to either get like a proper remake of, or just to re-release.
Yeah, I could see them doing like an anniversary release, like they did with the NES stuff.
And they did that on 3DS. They remade, I want to say, Fire Emblem 2. I'm fuzzy, right? Like I'm a new fan, so don't hold me to any of that. But there was a set of remake games that I want to say came out after Awakening. It was like the last ones that came out on 3DS, and I think they were remakes of 2. So yeah, it's not like it's something they don't do. It's just it hasn't happened yet.
You know, another pseudo almost first party title that I think would be really cool is Star Fox Adventures. And I wonder
how they go about doing that. Yes, you're so right. Because again, that's a game I didn't really like give a proper try because of what it wasn't. And like, I think I might like it because it's a Zelda game. Like,
yeah. And, you know, I don't know how they go about doing that. I imagine they can just take it and remake it and publish it because it's Nintendo's character in the same way that they were able to do what they wanted with the Donkey Kong stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah, just because Rare made it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Whereas Banjo was different in that regard.
Right, because they didn't own that.
Mm-hmm.
Although I guess because they published it, I guess, but
yeah, but they it's strange. Very, very, it's a very hard breakup, and Nintendo should have just bought them. It's ridiculous that they didn't. It still is to this day.
So I've been thinking about doing like a little like video essay series of like what I think were like major publishers like biggest mistakes, right? Like in their history, that would be on my list. If I was making, I don't know if it's top three worthy, but it's top five worthy, I think, for sure.
Honestly, that is right up there. You know, the company that developed the Super FX chip that enabled you to like have 3D graphics on an SNES that were on the bleeding edge, that were making some of the most beloved games on your systems that you trusted use. Yeah, and that you trusted to use your IP, which was very, very rare for them to do. And yet, you just let them slip into a competitor's hands. Like, why?
Nice pun, by the way. Very rare.
You got any other first party ones?
I have one last game. Yeah, I wonder if it's the same game. But I just want to say, because I figured out what it was. The game I was thinking of was Fire Emblem Echoes Shadows of Valentia, which was a remake of Fire Emblem Gaiden. Which was the second Fire Emblem game. So I was correct. Look at that. I didn't start that to like pat myself on the back. I just wanted to like clarify the facts. And I was like, oh, I got them all right. Look at me. All right. Good job.
Right. I'll get you a medal for that one.
Please. You know, I like trophies. My last game is Animal Crossing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mine's not that.
Okay. All right. So I think we talked about it earlier, right? Where it's like, I think it kind of makes sense for Nintendo to not be in the business of re-releasing old Animal Crossing games, right? Because it feels like kind of similar to like the Mario Kart thing where it's like you don't want to cannibalize sales or whatever. But like the original Animal Crossing is such a special game and it has such a different style and attitude than the modern games, like where the villagers are like, some of them are really jerks and like they're very sassy. The dialogue is a lot more like unique, I think, and it feels less packaged than a lot of the stuff that you get in the modern games. And like,
they keep that? I don't think they do. I think the problem you've got is if they re-release that, I think it's going to be a remake and maybe it's based in the same town. You have the train and you bring back some of the characters that are missing, like Blanca. But I think the characters' personalities match the modern personalities.
That's the thing is, I wouldn't want a remake. Like, I just want them to shove
on the ROM. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't want them to go back and touch it. Or, like, if they are going to touch it, like, it would have to be a we're leaving the dialogue alone thing. Otherwise,
yeah, I'd be fine with that. Yeah. And make sure you keep the games I can play in game there, please, as well.
Yeah. Right. And again, right, it's like, I think those are things that they would remove if it was a remake. So it's like, I kind of just want to port, but like, it would be cool to get the exact same game, but like, we touched it up a little bit and like, maybe make some changes to the gameplay, because you do kind of have that like situation where like, you run out of stuff to do, and it would be nice if there was like maybe more to some of that stuff, but it's also like, that's what the game was. And like, I kind of just want that, you know?
Yeah. So my final game is Zelda Four Swords Adventure. I've never had a chance to play it.
Oh, cool.
It's ridiculously expensive to play and really hard if you want to play it with actual hardware, because you need four Game Boy Advances with four
link cables. You can play it on a 3DS.
Yeah, I don't have one of those either. But I'd love to be able to just download Four Swords, and like multiple people can either connect up a phone, because they're willing to do that now, or and I can see it on the screen, the stuff on the screen, right? Because like, we just had that functionality with Everybody 1-2 Switch. Or I connect up another Switch, which I think, you know, there's tons of them around. Or I can play online, which would be really great. In the same way that, you know, Crystal Chronicles was meant to be that, but didn't turn out to be great. I think Four Swords Adventure would be really cool, and I'd like to play it.
Yeah, I mean, it's again, it's like they've already ported it to like modern hardware, so like I feel like you could do that. They already have the like online functionality figured out and everything, so feels like just another one. Like, why wouldn't you?
Because Nintendo, that's why. Because they just like leaving money on the table, apparently.
I'll never understand it. I really
won't. Genuinely, like, and ethically, I'll never invest in Nintendo while I talk about them. But I would love to just be an investor in Nintendo, like have millions and millions and millions, so I could just phone them up and be like, "Yeah, what's the deal with Wind Waker? Are you ever going to release that game or what?" Like on an investor call. Like, I just genuinely, I'd just be like, "Are you just leaving money on the table for no reason or what?"
It's weird. What's the deal there? It's really weird because, like, I don't know. As a pundit, right, like, you know, I always try to keep in mind the fact that, like, we don't know anything, right? Like, we know as much as we can research, as much as we can, you know, learn from just being students of the industry, right? But, like, I don't know how to run a multi-billion dollar corporation. I'm not going to sit here and purport to know more than the folks that run Nintendo. However, Nintendo is the company that I most am like, if I could just have the reins for a few days, right? Like, if I could just make decisions for... I feel like there's so many things like that where it's like, but why? Like, why did you do it this way? Why is this not an option? Why is this not available? Like, I just feel like you could pad out every single year on Nintendo Switch with, like, several re-releases of old games. And that would sell, like, a million copies. Right. And like, maybe not be best sellers on the console, but like, how much effort are you putting into the re-release of Pikmin 1 and 2? Right. Like, how have you not released Wind Waker yet when you have it? It's done. Just put it out. I don't get it. We had how many years on the Switch where there was no Zelda release and you could have just been
and then everyone's like, oh, we're finally getting a port. And then it's fucking Skyward Sword.
Arguably the least popular of the three games that we're talking about. And it was the only one that didn't already have a re-release. So, like, they had to make that. When it's like, you have Wind Waker and Twilight Princess.
Like, the motion stuff, like, mapping that and, like, figuring out a solution for it so people can actually play it. Like, that was a difficult port. But it's so ugly. I just want to play Wind Waker. I want to run around and catch that pirate girl, Petra, I think her name is. And
Petra.
And just, like, have a good time. I like Wind Waker. It's cute. It's adorable. It's one of my favorites. I want to play that sploosh game and lose. I always lose the battleship game. You can go play in the bar. And when you like fire, it goes sploosh when it hits the water.
I got there because you said sploosh game. And my mind went back to the GameCube thing. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, what game is this that I'm not conjuring? And you're like, the sploosh game with the noise. And I'm like, yes. No?
I don't know. That one. I know what you're talking about.
That sounds right to me, right? All right, so here's the thing, Steve. We had another segment planned, but we went long on our GameCube love thing. So we're going to jump into the plugs here, and then I'm going to need you to pick a question from the question block that we're going to end it on. How's that sound?
Yeah, that works for me.
All right, you got it. Okay, you got it. All right, So, before we do that, let me remind you that this episode of Nintendo Noise is brought to you by our Patreon producers for the month of July. They are, of course, Arnold J. Rimmer, Christopher Valenz, Earth Visitor, Gabriel Hasselmeyer, a.k.a. Asobi, Snackago, Ty the Dude, and Wakahula. Thank you all so much for your support over on patreon.com/flipscreengames. You're all the realest of the real, and we greatly appreciate your support of this and all of our sister shows. If you want to write in and let us know what GameCube games you want to see come to Nintendo Switch, or you want to write in for next week's show, where we're going to talk about the rest of the games that Nintendo has planned to come out this year. We're going to rank them by our hype for those games. We're going to do some Metacritic predictions. We're going to answer the question, could this go down as the best year on Nintendo Switch? A lot of questions to answer for next week. So if you want to write in with your thoughts...
It depends if Mario Wonder is any good. Well, and I think it probably will be. And I'm very excited for Mario RPG. Oh my god, this game this year is bananas.
We're definitely gonna have a whole episode arguing if this is the best year in video games at the end of the year or at the beginning of next year. We'll see how that goes timeline wise, but it's gonna happen for sure. But if you want to write in with your thoughts on those topics for next week, please make sure you do. Head over to flipscreen.games. That's our website, and you can find all the ways you can get in touch. You can write into us questions at flipscreen.games. If email's your thing, you can come join our Discord where the conversation keeps rolling between episodes. And, you know, however you choose to get in, if you're on YouTube, go comment on the video. However you choose to get in touch, we'd love to hear from you before next week's show. And then, of course, while you're there, you know, go click on some stuff. Go check out our sister shows. You want to go become a patron, get your name read on the air, just like everybody did earlier, get the show early, all kinds of good perks and goodies. And of course, it helps us keep these mics hot and the lights on. However you choose to get involved, we thank you for tuning into another episode of Nintendo Noise. Steve, what question are we going to end it on?
I like the question from Left Eye Lazy.
Okay.
Who said, I just watched a TikTok that said Tears of the Kingdom is directly tied to Ocarina of Time. And man, this timeline is nuts. Do you guys give a shit about the Legend of Zelda timeline? Does it matter in your enjoyment of the game?
Yes and no. If that makes sense.
For me, it's no and no. I genuinely don't care.
So, and when I say that I care, I just mean I think it's interesting, right? Like when I was, particularly when I was younger, right? Like when I first learned about the Zelda timeline and like before the Hyrule Historia came out, which I have upstairs on my bookshelf, so obviously I'm reading about the timeline. There was a website, a fan website, I think it was called Zelda Universe, that I used to go on, and they had a page on the site that was all about the timeline, and it explained, like, this is the timeline, it has these three branches, these are the important games in the timeline, and then this is where every other game sits on the timeline base, and here's the evidence that places it here, and kind of going through that whole thing. And I was like fascinated by that. You know, that was one of the first instances of me finding like fan content online that was about like exploring lore and kind of, you know, because like I've always been interested in that sort of thing, but prior to discovering like fan conversation online and stuff like that, I was pretty limited to like what you could buy and read from official sources, right? Like stuff in the book of the game, or, you know, like in rare examples, like not usually in games, but like I remember I had like the Marvel encyclopedia that my friend had, and I was able to read about a bunch of stuff like that. So like in a pre-Wikipedia era, that kind of stuff, right? Like I was eating that shit up, you know, for sure. And like to this day, I find it interesting. I think like the timeline is cool, and it's neat to see like how they play with it in different ways, and how like Breath of the Wild kind of like is a reboot where it kind of threw out the timelines and it brings in stuff from every timeline and stuff that's contradictory and stuff that like really couldn't coexist. But it's like, it doesn't matter, right? Because ultimately what's cool about Zelda is like the rich tapestry of lore and this idea that like, because it is about reincarnation and alternate universes and all this stuff, that like it all fits together, and it doesn't like your personal headcanon is like more important than what is officially on any piece of paper, right? But it is cool that there's that thought put into it, and that like if you're the type of person that wants to go and dig out those little, you know, bits of lore and have those cool moments of like, oh, this is referencing that, or this is, you know, like, that's really neat. Like, I think it's cool if you want to engage with that stuff. But if not, I think it's very neat how Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom have kind of taken all that stuff and boiled it down and be like, whether you get it or quote unquote get it or not, it doesn't matter because it's
I don't all... get it. I never get any of it. I remember talking about it at the beginning, and I think it was Andrew Valentine that like corrected me on a bunch of things and was like, oh, that's this, that's that. And I'm just like, I had no idea, and I don't know. I still don't really understand much of it, but I think it's so cool, and I love that you can approach the game from either a complete place of ignorance like me, where I don't know any of that stuff and I'm still having a wonderful time with it, or from a place where you're deeply ingrained in it and you know the timeline at the back of your hand and you really appreciate every single little aspect. And I think they do such a good job of catering for both people. But yeah, I the timeline doesn't do very much for me, although I did very much enjoy years and years and years ago Brian David Gilbert's video that he did for Polygon, solving the Zelda timeline in 15 minutes, and he put everything up on the board and like the fucking string. I loved that video. It was so fun.
I'll tell you what, worth a watch. I still, and this is like a bit of a tangent, I still really love Brian David Gilbert stuff. I still follow him. I think he's a brilliant comedian, but like, man, do I miss Unraveled sometimes. Like, that show was, he was firing really on all fucking cylinders on those early episodes, man. Like, some of those are just brilliant. Like, the one where he reads all the Halo books and he's like, and I became the Master Chief of Loneliness is just exceptional television, man. But yeah, I'll say this though, Matt. I guess to more specifically answer your question, like the Ocarina tie-in, that did influence my initial enjoyment of the game, because in the opening, you know, hour or so of the game, and I won't spoil what if you haven't got in there yet for yourself, but there's like a very obvious connection, right? This isn't even a spoiler. There's the Temple of Time, right, in the very beginning, and it's like, I don't, you know, if you're the most casual passing knowledge of Ocarina of Time, you probably are aware of the Temple of Time, right? So like, that, it gets your...
Even I know the Temple of Time, and exactly. I've not even finished that game.
It gets your detectors going off, right? You're like, oh, so does that mean this? Like, could that mean this? Does that, you know, and like, I like that aspect of leveraging lore in a new thing, right? Is like, I think like Steve said, is the best case scenario is it works for anybody, right? Like, every game should, in the same way that like old comics used to work, right? Like, everyone should be able to be your first one when it comes to Zelda. But having that nod where, like, if you are somebody who, you know, has that legacy with the franchise, you can have those little moments where you're like, oh, like, does this have significance? And you can start cooking and having your little fan theories and everything. And whether they come to fruition or not, to me, that's half the fun of a game that is like experiential and exploration based when it comes to the lore, is like, you thinking you know what's happening, and then it's like, oh no, actually, we have these other layers you hadn't considered or whatever. Like, that subversion of your expectation is always so fun. And I mean, that's what Zelda's all about, right? Is the aha.
I think I love that. I think I love that in remakes as well, you know, where it's just like, I know what's coming next. I know what it's going to be. And they take the moment to change it so you have no idea. Even like something like in Resident Evil, where it's like, there's a zombie in that locker, and you go to open it thinking there's going to be one in there, and there's nothing
like something falls from out, behind. Right? Or yeah. And you're like, oh no! Yeah, yeah. And it's like, ah, all right, we got you.
Yeah, it just messes you. I love that in remakes. I love that they can mess around with what fans expect and come to expect. But it's just like, actually, no, we've changed it. We're tweaking it. We're, you know, playing around with the timeline a little bit more. And I like that it's completely fluid in Zelda. Nothing else is like it. The timeline is just it is insanity. Absolute insanity.
Yeah. And I think before Hyrule Historia, there was a real sense of like mythos around it, where it was like, oh, like this is like what the fans have come up with or whatever, right? And we're pretty sure it's right. But it's like somewhere in Shigeru Miyamoto's office, there's like a piece of paper with the timeline like crumpled up in a ball, shoved in a corner or whatever. And like, that was like the mythos of it was like, it exists, we just don't know, you know? And then like, they confirm things, they've, you know, they've also made some changes and stuff like that. So it is what it is. But yeah, I mean, I think it's the perfect example of like how to do deep expanded lore right. Because if you're a huge dork and you want to read every entry and you want to be that type of person, it's there for you. And if that's not important to you at all, it's totally unobtrusive. And it's, and it is still good set dressing. It still creates a good world that feels lived in and feels like it has history, but you don't need to explore it to like prove that to you. You're like, okay, cool, it's there, that's neat.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
I need to go and listen to your Final Fantasy 16 episode from last week. And if you haven't listened to it and you're interested in Final Fantasy 16, listen to the Flip Screen Games podcast. Because I know there's that like fast action lore or whatever it's called.
Oh, so good, Steve. It's like the best. Like, it's the best lore system ever.
Yeah. So, and I feel like that's the kind of stuff that I would love, like more of a glossary in Zelda, where I'm like, who's this guy? And I'm going to press the button and I'm going to read the history and it's like, oh, here he is. And this is what he did. And this is where we are in the timeline. That would be so cool for Zelda.
I promise you I'm going to keep it short when we record Flip Screen Games tomorrow. But I want to talk a little bit more about Final Fantasy because I'm way further in now. And I've updated some of my takes. I was already high on it last week, but I like it a lot more, even more now.
Yeah.
And there's an evolution of that system that is so dope that comes around in kind of like the third act of the game, where it not only has like the lore archive or whatever that you can look at, there's this system that is a web, right? Where it's like the center is your character and then it has like all the factions and everything. And it has lines between every character explaining like what their relationship is.
BBG's board on Unraveled.
Yeah, but like you can go through the timeline and it literally shows you in real time of the game of like in this chapter, like you know, these two characters were strangers, right?
See, wouldn't that be great?
This character and, like, even saves of the this kingdom? Character. And then, yeah. You know, then now in the next chapter, now they're allies. Then, oh, after he saved his life, now they're friends, right? And it's just like keeps evolving like that. It's very, very cool.
Yeah. No, I'm interested to hear about it. We'll talk about that tomorrow. So if you want to hear more Final Fantasy talk, this week's Flip Screen Games podcast. Along with, and I promise this time, because I can't remember who it was, but someone on the Discord was very upset that we didn't touch on
last I think it was week, Armo.
We didn't touch on the FTC stuff. We will be talking about that this week. I promise you, Armo.
You got to talk about Diablo at some point, too. You haven't been on the shows.
I spoke a little bit about Diablo on Steam Deck podcast last week. Okay. Because I was talking about what games I played while I was away on holiday. But I do want to talk about Diablo at length at some point. But I want to play it with you. I want to hear your
opinion. We got to get it figured out. But anyway, thank you guys for tuning into another episode of Nintendo Noise. And hey, guess what, everybody? I know we still have questions. I told you we'd get to them this week. Guess what? It was a big week. So we still have them. So we'll read them next week. You know, keep it tuned. And don't forget, write in with your thoughts about the question of could 2023 be the best year in the history of Nintendo Switch? Because I think it's making a pretty strong case for itself. But we're going to talk all about that and much more next week on Nintendo Noise. So remember, you want to write in, you want to be involved, you want to show your support, flipscreen.games, that's the website. And of course, you'll find links to all the places we are all over the web. You'll find our sister shows, you'll find our Patreon, you'll find our Discord, you'll find our email address. However you choose to get involved or show your support, we thank you for tuning in to another episode of Nintendo Noise. For the crew, I've been Pete, he's been Steve. We'll see you next week.